You're listening to KGPR 89.9 FM, and this is Rich Liebert, guest host for On Point Veterans Talk Radio, and I'm a retired Army soldier. And I'd like to thank our regular host, Joe Parsetich, a Vietnam veteran, and also senior vice commander of the National DAV, Disabled American Veterans. That's a very prestigious position, but Joe's on the road a lot, so it's a privilege to stand in here for Joe Parsetich. And I want to reflect also on Joe's great friend and my friend and many, many friends out there, Roger McConnell, and my good friend Jim Porter. And here's our guest. And any thoughts about Roger McConnell? Last week was his birthday. It would have been 77. But
you know, Roger, that was a terrific loss for the Vets for Vets and for the veterans in general here in Great Falls when Roger passed away, because there wasn't anything that he would say no to, and there wasn't anyone that he would say no to. If you were a veteran and you needed help, Roger was there, period. I mean, he didn't care. And he was a heck of a veteran for everybody.
Right. That's well said, Jim. And we've been to many stand-downs. He helped start the stand-down. In fact, about 2013, him and Tom Halverson started this very radio show to help veterans. The mission was to as a resource and inspiration for veterans, the families, and also our military community. Active duty Air Force, obviously, Malmstrom, also the Reserves and National Guard, and all veterans organizations. And we're here to share that mission. But now I'm going to talk about Jim Porter. And we appreciate you being in the studio. And so how did Jim Porter come to be in Uncle Sam's United States Navy?
I joined the Navy Reserves when I was a junior in high school. And between my junior and senior year, I went to 2 weeks boot camp and 2 weeks active duty aboard ship. And that skipper on that destroyer, the USS Watts, must have headed for the roughest part of the Pacific he could find, because even some of the crew was sick. But at any rate, I made it through it. I come back, and I finished my senior year in high school out in Belt Valley High. And where do you want to go? I want to go just as far from Montana as I can and work my way back. So where do they send me? U.S. Naval Hospital, Guam, Marianas. And I was there for 3 years. And, you know, once I got acclimated to that climate over there, it was terrific. That Guam is a beautiful, beautiful island. And so anyway, after I left Guam, I went aboard the USS Vancouver for 1 year. We hauled a load of Marines over to Vietnam with all of their gear. And, you know, even though I wasn't in country, so to speak, some of the things, some of the sights, some of the horrific things that I saw really, really made an impression on me. And they say, in general, that the Navy and the sailor and Marines don't get along. But when you have them on work parties, and you see them every day in the chow line, and you begin to put a name with a face, then it gets personal.
Absolutely.
And when I got out of the Navy, I decided that I was going to do whatever I could do to support any and all veterans. So naturally, the first thing that I did was join the Disabled American Veterans, because I had a couple of disabilities from Agent Orange and whatever, over in Vietnam. And then I got into the VFW, and the VFW was, I'm not going to say it's better, or it was more to my liking. And I thought, okay, fine, let's run for chaplain. I've been commander of two different posts for several years, and I really liked it. I enjoyed it. But when I got to be the chaplain, and especially the chaplain for the state of Montana for the VFW, I really, really and thoroughly enjoy it. I like the job, and I take it very, very serious. It's a very important part of the military and the veterans organizations.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You're also a chaplain with the Montana Veterans Memorial Association with me.
Yes, yes, that's true.
And some of our other KGPR fans, like Eric Peterson, he's our public affairs guy in the Montana Veterans Memorial. And we do a lot together, all like the Marine Corps League. We work hand in glove to accomplish this mission.
You bet, you bet. Well, and even though the sailors and Marines don't get along, I thought, you know, what greater honor could there be than working the last detail for a comrade? So I joined the Marine Corps League and got on their honor guard. And it doesn't make any difference how many times you've been through it or whether you know the veteran or not. When they start to blow taps, I mean, I have to swallow hard, you know, because it doesn't get any better. It's taps. It's signaling that you've just lost a comrade, period. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't change a thing that I've done.
Well, you remember Marv Brewster?
Yes, sir, I do.
Marv was a corpsman, right?
He was a corpsman in the Navy. And Marv told me, he was the one that designed and built the Warrior Angel that's at the Montana Veterans Memorial. And he told me, he said, yeah, those five dog tags that are hanging from the hand of the Warrior Angel, most people think, oh, that's the five branches of the service. He said, Jim, let me tell you something. That was for the five comrades that I lost in the field. And it really does. It just about chokes me up because when you unload these Marines off of your ship and the next day they're bringing back the most critically wounded, doing what they can, and then taking them onto the hospital ship, I think to myself, man, is this really, really necessary? I mean, you know, it really bothers you. It really bothers you a lot.
Was the Vancouver a transport ship?
Yes, it was. It was a LPD, a landing platform dock. Mm-hmm. It had a landing platform for the helicopters, and then it had a big well deck where they would drive in all their LCMs and all LCUs. Right. Uh-huh. And on Sundays, we'd have swim call.
Oh.
They'd ballast down and fill the well deck.
Right. So where was this destroyer based out of that you went on as a kid?
Oh, it was out of Seattle.
Oh, Bremerton?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, why do they call this destroyer a tin can? Oh, boy. Was it ever an enlightening experience?
I can appreciate. Well, I've been to Bremerton once. I went on the USS Turner Joy.
Oh yeah,
it's a museum ship there, but it's fascinating. How can people live on this? You know, I'm an old soldier grunt type, but everybody has their challenges, whether you're at sea, in the air, or on the ground.
Yeah, and you know, if a person just takes notice once in a while of the sailors that I know of that were sub sailors. They're all 6 foot tall. Why don't they get some of these little sailors that are 5'5" or something?
Well, that's just like the military, Jim. You know,
oh, my God.
They're the perfect match is amazing.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you.
Well, they had to get it right for the B-17s with the ball turret gun.
Right.
I mean, they just couldn't get around that one.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and we just recently had the B-17 visit Great Falls, sentimental journey. And in our association, we hosted the B-25 Made in the Shade last year. So that's how we all work together. Whether you're an air warrior, on the sea, land, we're all together in it.
Your comrade, you bet.
So how did you come into the Postal Service? We just had a chat before. In fact, you were recruiting a guy into the VFW outside the building.
Well, I was.
Did you fall into that?
I was driving truck when I worked for Buttry's Warehouse here in Great Falls for 10 years.
Wow.
And I decided that I wanted to become a truck driver. And because of a medical issue, they could not make me a truck driver because Buttery was self-insured. So I said, that's fine. I'll just quit and I'll go learn to drive trucks someplace else. So 10 years at Buttery's and I quit. So I drove truck over in North Dakota for, almost 3 years in the oil field. And when the oil wells at that time had, they were really, really cutting down on some of them, I said, you know, it's best that I get out of here while I still got money enough to. So I come back and I drove truck for Builders Transport for almost a year. And then I had put in an application at the Postal Service for building maintenance. And they called me and told me to come down for an interview. And I worked at the main office downtown for from April to December. And then in December, they needed a custodian up at C.M. Russell. And I transferred up there. And within a year or two, they sent the other guy back downtown. They didn't need it because I was doing such, I am not patting myself on the back. This is what they told me. You're doing such a good job. We only need one custodian.
Oh.
And anyway, 21 and a half years later, I had to take a medical retirement because of my back, which originally had been damaged or hurt, injured over there at Buttery's Warehouse. And after the fact, I've had back surgery 3 or 4 times. And, when I got retired from the post office, I decided I wanted to make a difference as far as veterans go.
Do more with the VFW, Vets Memorial, things that need to be done.
And I was lucky enough to be in on the ground floor when Mike Winters,
a letter carrier. For those who don't know the old mayor, he was a letter carrier, folks.
And he said, you know what Great Falls needs is we need a veterans memorial. And we're not talking big. We're just, maybe $250,000 or so. You know, this no one ever dreamed in their wildest imagination that our veterans memorial would be the beautiful veterans memorial that it is today. Yeah, and it's only because of a lot of people that had a lot of drive.
Well, Harry, Keith, and Fran, and the old, Norm Ogwin, Joe, Bob Heinen, his wife, all the old crew. I mean, they're not with us now, but we're still marching on. And so over 7,500 tiles in there. Marv's Warrior Angels still there watching what's going on. But folks, you're listening to On Point Veterans Talk Radio, 89.9 FM. I just wanted to get a station break here. And now we're going to talk about something that most people are not aware of, perhaps, Highland Cemetery, because we have a lot of veterans interned there. And where is Highland Cemetery, Jim?
Highland Cemetery is, if you go out past Benefice Hospital, clear out to where, just when you drop over the hill, turn right, and the very next left turn will take you into Highland Cemetery. And when you get to the top of the hill, if you look, you go right past Mount Olivet, and if you get to the top of the hill, you'll see the trees and that out there. It's just like a island oasis almost in right out there on the prairie.
Well, that's a good way to describe it because I drive by it all the time.
Yeah. And I, myself and two other veterans decided or thought, we talked about it, there really should be lights on them flagpoles. And clear back, this was with the DAV yet. We had gotten on the old white pole that is still standing. We approached the electric company, and they said, well, you know, we really can't do anything, but we'll be glad to sell you an expensive power pole. And at the time, we didn't have very much money. So they said, all right, well, I got a hold of Sun Elko up in Kalispell, Montana. And they said, well, we can set you up with a solar system, about $3,500. So the light bar is still on that pole. And they brought down the big solar panels and the batteries and everything. And it worked fine. And then it got vandalized. And
no, really?
Oh, yeah. Somebody pulled the wire out of the battery so it wouldn't.
So it's not solar powered anymore?
No,
no. Oh, that's terrible.
And after they fixed it once or twice, I decided, you know, that isn't very sufficient. So we started a fundraiser, and thanks to a lot of people, we finally got, we had to run the power 996 feet. And there was a gentleman, one of the workers from Liberty Electric. He did all the wiring for us.
Yeah, Liberty is great because they did a lot of work on the Vets Memorial. They're a good go-to guys.
And Jonas trenched the whole thing. Jonas Sprinklers trenched the whole thing. The only thing they charged us for is when they had to go underneath the pavement there. And they donated that. And Tom, I think his name is Tom from Liberty Electric, he had saw someplace in some advertisement that he saw, he could get three LED lights, I mean real high powerful LED lights, free if they were used for something such as lighting up a flagpole at a cemetery or something. So he ordered them, and he got the lights for free. And so we had to end up paying for a little bit to Jonas. We had to pay for the cable and the conduit that the wire was going through. And when they finally hooked him up and turned on the lights, oh my God, I can remember the past department commander Joe Fletcher drove out on the road that runs alongside of the cemetery. And he called me up at home and he said, Jim, he said, I'll tell you what, that absolutely looks beautiful.
So when they're on at night and someone wants to go and reflect and visit a loved one?
Oh, yes.
It's very powerful.
You don't have to go into the cemetery. Mm. You can get on that road that runs parallel to the cemetery, and I'll tell you what, it's lit up as big as...
I'm going to have to take a look at that and go visit in there. Yeah. So how many veterans do you think we have interned there at Highland?
Boy. You know,
we were talking about the old headstones and the
I've never really counted them. I've got to be honest. Right. I've never really counted them. But there are some of those white marble headstones that go clear back to the Spanish-American and Indian Wars. I mean, they go clear back. And, you know, it's really, really a shame because I wish that there was some way that those white marble headstones could be cleaned, and so they really look white because they're old.
All right. I know there's a big monument out there to Captain Moran, right?
Yes, there is.
There's a cannon out there, I recall.
Yep, so. Yep.
And a little note on that, Captain Moran. John Moran was a city police officer, deputy sheriff of Cascade County, earned the Medal of Honor in 1904, I think, in the Philippine insurrection. He was the Cascade County Clerk and Recorder until he died in 1929, and he's our very own Medal of Honor recipient, and he's honored at the Veterans Memorial, and he's also honored with his name out with Captain Galt at the Reserve Center out east of town. So
good.
That's the Galt Moran Center, because William Galt, that was the old Reserve Center up on Gore Hill, and that got deactivated. Nothing ever got done with it, and Joe Fletcher and I and we said, we got to get this fixed, and that got fixed. So as a chaplain, I'm sure you've been out to many internments out there at Highland.
Oh, yes. And I would like to say that I knew that by the flagpole for the American flag, 40-foot pole, we had to have the Montana granite. They made the granite piece of slab at the bottom of that, and I thought, well, I'm going to need two more for each one of these, the Montana flag and the POW/MIA flagpole. And so when I went down to see John at Montana Granite, he said, tell you what, you buy one, I'll donate one. Okay? So we worked out just exactly what we wanted on it. When I went down to pay him, he said, nah, we're just going to donate them both. And they just donated both of them. And I'll tell you what, they absolutely look beautiful. It wasn't because they did a shabby job or a rush job, or they just flat donated both of them.
So between you and I, I think there's more room out there in the veteran section.
Oh, yes, there is.
And you've worked with all the funeral directors and services and so forth. If you want to be interned there and you're a discharge veteran.
If a person was to get a hold of either one of the funeral directors and say, look, you know, you might have to crowd a little bit, but I would like to be in the veteran section right there by the cannon, they would get you in that veteran section.
Because I helped bury a friend out there 20 years ago, and frankly, we've kind of lost sight of it because on Memorial Day, there still is a ceremony at 10 in the morning, and I remember going there as a young guy with my dad, but that's what we had in the past, and unfortunately, we have another ceremony on Memorial Day at the Veterans Memorial, which we well know, but the one at 10 o'clock was the first one, and we talked about the Air Force would bring out bleachers and color guards and speakers, but there's still a core group of veterans that still honor that ceremony and try to make it work.
Oh, yeah. We always we haven't had to have bleachers out there for the last couple of years, last year especially. But for the most part, we always keep a list of the veterans from the Great Falls, Cascade County, and those names are read that have passed away in the last year. And those names are read at every Memorial Day ceremony.
Yeah, I remember that. So.
Yep.
Just a side note, I was just reading, Arlington Cemetery is limiting how many retirees can be interned there now.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's a urban environment and they're running out of space as well. So now they have their priorities. But for, I guess, suppose the near future, there's room for veterans still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it space makes a big difference because all you got to do is ask Rich or Mike Winters up there at the Montana Veterans Memorial. I mean, they've added walls and added walls and added walls. And I mean, I'm sure that they're somehow or another, they'll keep adding walls as they need them.
Well, I know when the architect we built it, I think we got room for like 5,000 more.
Yeah.
And look at all the generations that have served already and the 7,500 names. That doesn't cover everybody. But we try to do our best to honor everybody, living, deceased, male, female, no matter what ethnic background, religion, race, whatever, whether you're Army Guard,
Air
Force Reserve.
You're good enough, period. Mm-hmm. As long as you got a DD-214 and it's other than a dishonorable discharge, you can get in.
And I know the Highland Cemetery, they have a board of directors, they're volunteers, and they have a manager, and they're trying to, they may sell some property to sustain themselves so we'll make sure the cemetery is, whole, especially the veterans section.
Yeah.
So
they used to have three or four maintenance people out there. To the best of my knowledge, now they've got two.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
So if someone wants to help the cemetery along or maintain those flagpoles, I know Shields was a big donor. Some other big community groups contributed. So how do they contact
any donations? Any donations can be sent If you prefer, you send them directly to the Stockman's Bank for the Light Up the Flags for the Holidays account. That's what it's listed as. The Stockman Bank downtown. Light Up the Flags for the Holidays. And if you don't want to do that, then you can get in touch with me in Belt. My phone number is 406-277-4499. And you can call me just about any time of night or day.
Or they'll yell for the, I want the chaplain at the VFW post in Belt. No, oh, and Black Eagle.
Black Eagle.
But you're the chaplain for the whole state, too.
Yes, I am.
So,
yes, I am.
And just to finish up with that, so does that take you out of town to in your VFW chaplain duties? I was just curious.
Not very much, because most of it is handled, like, through the mail. The chaplain does not have a travel budget.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to go out of town without being told to, then obviously it would be on my ticket. And I'm not opposed to that, but the ticket only goes so far.
Right.
But I know I am going to be going to Helena September 25th. The state commander, he's having a homecoming get-together in East Helena. And I'll be going over there for that, because they figure they need a prayer before and after. So.
Oh, good. You're the man to do it. So we appreciate you being here, Jim, to tell us about what's going on at the Highland Cemetery, all the good work there, the good work you've done in the VFW, still marching on, and the proud Navy veteran.
I thank you very much, Rich, and I thank KGPR, and it is truly, truly an honor to be doing just exactly what I'm
right,
doing.
Right, because we're carrying on for Roger McConnell. You know, that's why I came on to the KGPR team, to continue this mission to help our veterans, their families, our community members. You know, as a resource and inspiration, anybody out there, if you have an idea, suggestions, comments, email kgpr@gfcmsu.edu, and also visit our website, kgpr.org. But please do. If you have the show ideas, you want to make comments, we try to get you on the air. We're going to try to cover Stand Down, that's coming up late September, and other veterans activities that are going on around here, and be a service outreach for everybody, all veterans and families, and our active and reserve military. Thank you. We're on point.